I was in the hospital this week. I had some situations come upon me, Monday night, late Monday night, and through Tuesday, I finally surrendered and allowed Barbara to take me to the emergency room. They ended up keeping me into the hospital till late afternoon Wednesday. Had some things go wrong with my body. I'm on the hill and on the mend, and some might be saying, I've already had some ask me, why are you preaching? I said, well, it's sort of like men, you'll understand this. Hopefully women, you'll understand it. When you walk into your workshop and you grab that rechargeable battery for that hand tool, Phil, I know you know what I'm talking about. You're expecting it to be 100% charged. And you reach up there and you see all of them are not fully charged. What do? You reach for the one that's got the most charge. Mine ain't much, but it's the most charge. So that's why I'm here this morning. Dr. Tim called me late Friday afternoon and asked me if I thought I could do it. And I said, with the Lord's help, I do it. So here I am. But I do appreciate the opportunity. When he called me and asked me, as always, I began praying. And since the first of the year, through my devotions, God has taken me back to the Old Testament. I love the Old Testament. And God has taken me back to the Old Testament. I've been looking at some characters in the Old Testament. And, you know, when you look at the Old Testament, you see people truly living by faith. I mean, example after example. You know, Joseph and Joshua, and those are the ones I've been looking at. And God just kept taking me back because, to be honest, this not just this week, but the last few weeks, my faith has been tested. And I don't know about you, but mine's been tested, and I just wanted to share this morning about faith. I wanted to look at faith. Faith that reminds us. Faith that reminds us. And my prayer this morning is that if you're here this morning and your faith has been hit, weakened, that when you leave here this morning, it will have been strengthened. That's my prayer, plain and simple. First passage I want us to look at this morning is in the New Testament, but it's reference to the Old Testament. Hebrews 11, verse 22. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. And then in Genesis chapter 50, verses 24 through 26, we read this. Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to a land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And then Joseph made all the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and you shall carry my bones up from here. So Joseph died at the age of 110 years, and he was embalmed and placed in a coffin in Egypt. And that closes the book of Genesis. Now, a coffin in Egypt may appear to be a strange way or even a discouraging way to end or close a book. And some may be already saying, well, why are we looking at this concerning our faith? But if you look closely, under the parameters of faith, this passage could not be more encouraging concerning that which we believe, that which we trust. I mean, after all, Joseph was dead. Think about it. He was dead, but his witness would still be going on by a box. John Wesley stated, God buries his workmen, but his work goes on. And that would be the case with Joseph. As the children of Israel would start their progress and their trek back to the promised land, they would be taking Joseph with them, and he would be a constant reminder of faith, trusting faith. You know, I think sometimes for some of us, maybe most of us, at times we forget that faith is not a shallow emotion, y'all. Sometimes we get all worked up, and that's not a bad thing, but faith is beyond just a shallow emotion that we work up on cue. In fact, faith is not an optimistic, hope-so attitude to live day in and day out in. You know, as we live our lives, we realize that true faith is to be grounded in the infallible Word of God. You know, plain and simple, God said it. We believe it. I know I do. God said it. We believe it. That's faith. But faith doesn't end there, does it? No, not true faith. We must act on our faith daily in our lives. In fact, young people, I dare say none of you came in this morning and took that chair and shook it and pushed on it to make sure it would hold you before sitting down, did you? No, you didn't. You just came in and trusted and showed your faith and sit down. You acted on it. True faith always leads to obedient action on our part. Joseph knew what he believed, and he knew who he belonged to. His faith caused him to give specific instructions concerning his burial. And listen, when you stop and think about Joseph, it's remarkable that Joseph had any faith at all. I mean, he had lived most of his life away from his family. He'd lived most of his life in Egypt with no spiritual guidance. In fact, he had been under the influence of Egypt's religion. There was no one there that we know of, again, to help grow his faith or strengthen his faith or encourage it. But as you study Joseph's life, you can't help but notice that it was his faith that constantly reminded him and guided him in his life and all of life's circumstances. Should not our faith be the same? Guiding us and leading us in life and all of life's circumstances? Yes. Our faith should constantly remind us of truths that God has shown us and given to us. And that's what I want us to see this morning for this short amount of time. The first thing I want you to see is this. Our faith is to remind us who we are. John chapter 1 verse 12 says, "But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." That was Joseph. Joseph, again, his faith reminded him who he belonged to, who he was. Listen, there was no one more powerful than Joseph in the land of Egypt than the Pharaoh. Pharaoh was the only one that had more power than Joseph. So Joseph could have had a burial and a funeral fit for a Pharaoh. But he chose not to. Why? Because he never forgot who he was and who he belonged to. And because of that, Joseph chose to join his people. Even though he was going to die, he wanted them to take him back with them as they trekked towards and entered into the land of promise. He wanted to be there. Why? Because he was one of them. He belonged to God, God's chosen people. Joseph deliberately chose to disassociate himself from Egypt and everything associated with it. And that's a great reminder for us that we need to deliberately choose to disassociate ourselves from our previous behavior and the things that we were caught up in before Christ. Because now we are in Christ. And that's who we are. So Joseph chose that because he remembered he was a part of God's chosen people, and he wanted to remind them of that fact. as he went with them. You know, this kind of faith, I think we need to be demonstrating today as a church, as individuals. Listen, we're all on the same journey, the journey of life. We're going down that same journey together towards the point of where God desires us to be. He desires all of his children to be like his firstborn. Amen? That's our trek that we're on. So our faith is to be one that maybe reminds others and encourages others. That was Joseph's desire. Our faith is to be one that loves and helps one another along this journey. God has given us one another. And listen, when those old habits of our old nature try to creep back into our lives, or maybe when the enemy comes in and tries to tempt us and tries to sway us away, I would hope it would be our faith that would remind us who we are and who we belong to. Like Joseph. Joseph had those opportunities, but he chose to listen to his faith. Oswald Chambers said, "Christianity is not devotion to work or to a cause or a doctrine, but devotion to a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ." Listen, Christianity is not a religion. It's a relationship. It's a relationship with Christ. And that's who we are. If you've chosen Jesus Christ and accepted God's salvation through him, that's who you are. You're a part of that. Our faith should remind us of that in those hard times. The second thing I want you to see this morning concerning our faith is to remind us of God's promises. God's promises. Galatians 3:29. "And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise." Now, if you spend any time whatsoever reading God's word, you can't help but notice how often you find promises of God, and they're directed towards his people. I mean, God made great promises to Abraham and his descendants. And these have been passed down and repeated to Isaac and Jacob and on and on. The children of Israel, you know, they had responded to these promises. And they had walked by faith. Yes, their faith had been weak at times, but so has ours, if we'd be honest with ourselves. Amen. But they had learned to come to accept and understand that you were able to take God at his word. And they expected it. Listen. They knew that God would fulfill his promises. Even at Jesus' birth, at his coming, the people were expecting the promised one, the Messiah. They missed it, but they were expecting. They knew God was going to deliver. They were looking for the deliverer. They just didn't fully understand what God was trying to deliver them from. But they still had that expectation. Last couple of days as I was studying, preparing, I came across this, and I love this. David Nicholas. I needed this. He said, "God's promises are like the stars. The darker the night, the brighter they shine." Man, is that rich? I mean, that's good. In those dark moments, when we find ourselves in those dark moments of life, questioning, and our faith's being hammered, we can stand, as that great old hymn says, on the promises of God. And they're like stars. The darker it gets, the brighter God's promises shine. You know, as time went by for the children of Israel, they'd come to realize God's faithfulness. His faithfulness in keeping his promises. You know, I think it was their faith in God, that reminded them of that. Listen, in the New Testament, for us, those of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord, we are spiritual descendants of Abraham. And as such, we are the recipients of God's promises through the promised one. That's what Galatians 3:9 is speaking about. It is our faith in Christ, that reminds us of God's promises and his faithfulness in keeping his word. Peter speaks of this in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. Peter writes, "But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, so that you may proclaim the excellences of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God, and you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy." Do you hear what Peter's saying there? Before Christ, we had nothing. We were nothing. And now, in Christ, we're something. We're something special. We're God's own. We're God's own. God has promised that to us through his Son, Jesus Christ. You know, I need to hear that from time to time. I need to be reminded, and hopefully my faith reminds me of that. This past few days as I was studying for this, I needed to be reminded of this. Last couple of weeks, I received some news that was disturbing. I didn't want to really hear it, but I did. My faith was shaken a little bit, and I needed to be reminded of God's promises. But you know what? We need more than to be reminded of who we are. We need more to be reminded of God's promises. Listen, the third thing I want you to see that our faith hopefully reminds us of is God's presence. God's presence. John 14:18, Jesus says, "I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. I will come to you." Now, Jesus had just informed his followers, I've got to leave you. They're going, "Whoa, wait a minute." He said, "No, I've got to leave you so the Father will send the Comforter, the Holy Spirit." And he shares with them all about the Holy Spirit. But then he comes back, and I love this. In verse 18, he says, "But you know what? I'm going to leave. The Holy Spirit's going to come. But I'm not going to leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you." Man, what reassurance. Jesus told, you know, he was telling his followers, "I'm going to be with you. The Holy Spirit's going to be with you, but I'm going to be with you also." Think about Joseph. Throughout his life, his faith had reminded him of God's presence. Because each time an unbelievable circumstance or situation arose, God made a way, reminding him that I'm with you. I'm with you. I mean, from the time that he shared about that dream, I mean, you would think, you know, going to your family and sharing about what God had showed you in a dream, boy, it went downhill from there. His father got angry with him. His brothers were mad at him, wanted to kill him, but they sold him off to slavery, to Egypt. Potiphar bought him. Great situation there until Potiphar's wife started getting an eye for him. She lied about him. He ended up in prison. He helped a couple of guys out in prison with a dream. God helped him. He knew God was with him there. Then they forgot about him. But through it all, Joseph knew that God was with him. Did he understand it? No. We've all been through those situations where we just kind of scratch our head and shake it, not understanding why, and even maybe verbally saying that. Why? But we can rest assured on God's promise that he's with us. Amen? He is. You know, Joseph's faith had been tested, but listen, nowhere can you find where his faith faltered. It never faltered. All he had to go on was what God had showed him and what he felt, God's presence with him. And he clung to the promise that one day his dream would come true. And boy, did it. God didn't disappoint. I mean, here he is. He went from slave to vice president of Egypt. Is that a success story or not? From slave to vice president of Egypt. Unbelievable. God was with him through it all. And listen, like Joseph, our faith is to remind us that we're not alone. That we need to be reminded and remember the words of Jesus in Matthew 28, "And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age." Jesus will never leave us nor forsake us. We need to be reminded of that at times. And hopefully it is our faith that does that. J.B. Phillips said this about God's presence. He said, "The presence of God is a fact of life. St. Paul rightly said of God, 'In him we live, move, and have our being.' Jesus said, 'The kingdom of God is within you.' We may, by defying the purpose of God, insulate ourselves from that presence. We may, by unrepented sin, cut off the sense of God because we are clouded by a sense of guilt. We may, through no fault of our own, be unable to sense the God who is all about us. But the fact remains that he is with us all the time. You can't get away from him. If you belong to him, you can't hide from him. You can't move from him." David said he could climb the highest pinnacle and go to the deepest part of the seas and he couldn't get away from him. God is always with us. And I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded of that from time to time. Who we are, we need to be reminded. Who we are, we're God's own. We need to be reminded of his promises, his presence. But listen, the last thing I want you to see this morning is this. Our faith is to remind us of God's purpose. God's purpose. Ephesians 1:9 says, "He made known to us the mystery of his will according to his kind intention, which he purposed in him." Helmut Thielicke said this, "In spite of all appearances to the contrary, God has a plan for this bankrupt world." And boy, is it bankrupt right now. "He still has something in store for it. This dark, satanic earth drowned in blood and tears, this earth of ours he still wants as a theater for his grace and glorious direction." And boy, as I look at our world, as I look at our nation right now, that is such an accurate description. But you know what? Through everything that I see on Fox and on the news and on radio, God still has a plan. And he's carrying it through. And he's wanting to carry it through us, the church, his body. You know, today when life doesn't make sense, or perhaps we're questioning things, we have an advantage. There's not a doubt in my mind that there were times in Joseph's life where there was a lot of question. A lot of question. And we've got an advantage. We've got God's word. We've got one another. And our faith, like Joseph's, must endure. Hopefully, today our faith will remind us of that great passage found in Isaiah 55. Isaiah 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. I don't know about you, but when I read and see the news of what all's going on and decisions being made, it staggers me. And I can't help but say, oh, Lord. But I've got to remember that he put his plan in action long, long time ago. And he's seeing it through. And for those of us who have become a part of the kingdom, his plan is implemented through us. Even Joseph, I mean, think about Joseph's life. Everything that happened to him from the moment that he shared his dream with his family to the moment that Pharaoh brought him up to the position of second in command. Through that period of time, Joseph didn't understand. He couldn't comprehend why all of this was taking place. But he trusted. He knew that God had a plan and a purpose. And it wasn't until his brothers came because of the great drought that was being experienced. And he saw them for the first time, and then it was like, it was overwhelming to him. He had to leave from their presence. He was so emotional. He understood at that moment why he had endured all that he had endured. Everything that he had gone through in his life was for that moment. God had put him there to save his people. In fact, I love that scene in Genesis 45 where Joseph tries to encourage his brother's faith with his own faith. You know, he tells them, he says, don't be too hard on yourselves. You know, don't grieve, don't be angry because you sold me here. It wasn't you that sent me here. God sent me here to save life. I would love to be able, well, maybe I wouldn't. What's in store for tomorrow? But we can't, can we? We've got to live in the moment. And I know sometimes that moment is hard. But we've got to remember who we are by saying that who we belong to. We've got to remember the promises that has been given to us. We've got to remember we're not alone. We've got one another, but we've got God. We've got the Holy Spirit. We've got His Word. And we've got to just convince ourselves sometimes in those hard times it's a part of God's plan. We may not understand it, but we accept it like Joseph. Think of it. By the means of a coffin, Joseph's faith was a constant reminder to the children of Israel for those years as they traveled and wandered, heading towards the land of promise. There was Joseph, his body, as a reminder of everything that he had endured, everything that he had gone through, and he never lost his faith. Today, you and I, by the means of the cross, by the means of the empty tomb, our faith is to constantly remind us of God's love, God's concern, and God's care for us. May that get us through. May your faith be strengthened in that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you for those times in our lives when we're shaken. Thank you for in those times when there's doubt, there's confusion, there's bewilderment. That you remind us. Father, today I don't know what anyone here is going through. I know there's a lot of sickness and a lot of things going on. And this world in which we're living in, Father, seems to be just self-destructing. But Father, I know this morning with all of my heart that you still sit on the throne, that you're still in charge. And God, just like, oh, Job, Father, there's nothing that comes into our lives that doesn't first come through you and through your throne. Sometimes those things are to make us stronger. Sometimes those things are to just wake us up and redirect us. Sometimes those things are just to get us to draw closer to you. Father, whatever the reason, whatever someone here this morning is going through, God, I pray that through the power of your Holy Spirit, your spoken word this morning, that his or her faith has helped remind them of who they are. That it's reminded them of the promises that you've made to them as an individual. And God, that despite how they may feel, that you are there with them. And God, that you do have a plan. A plan for that individual to be a part of your kingdom work. To bring glory and honor to you. So Father, thank you for that trust you've put into us through our faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. So Father, help us this morning as we go out from this place to demonstrate an obedient faith, a trusting faith, a faith of action. Father, there's one here this morning that has never surrendered his or her life to you and accepted your salvation through your Son, Jesus Christ. God, I pray today would be the first day of that faith for them. Father, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. As we stand this morning, worship is not over. In fact, in many ways, I believe it's just beginning. As God has spoken to you, it's time for you to speak back to him. So as we sing this song, the altar's available, you come if God has spoken to you. Speak back to him as he has spoken to you this morning.